We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
One of the owners of the Boston Celtics, Steve Pagliuca, joining us on the line. Hey, Steve, it's Dale and Michael. How are you?
Hi, how are you guys doing?
You okay today? I was a little worried about you and Wick and Danny and Doc and everybody. Everybody all right?
Well, I was just with Wick and Danny and Doc this morning, and we woke up. The sun did come up. It's a nice day, and we're fine.
The sun did come up. However, the sun came up, and you have the left you with the fifth pick in the draft. How much planning had you done, Steve? I know you can't bank on getting the number one or number two pick, but how much planning had you done as an organization for one of these two young men, Greg Oden or Kevin Durant?
We've done planning. We know we would get at least five, and we also have to plan for 32 as well, which should be a good pick. So this draft is very unique. You know, they passed the 19-year-old rule last year, so many players who would have come out, the Al Jeffersons of the past, you know, did not come out. So this draft has double the amount of top-notch players in it as a normal draft would, and it's a one-year phenomenon. So the bad news is that we did not get the number one pick. The good news is this is the best draft in the last 10 years probably. So we planned basically for all the players in the draft. We obviously knew a lot about those two guys, but there are a bunch of other good players in the draft.
Is there any public relations work to be done or marketing work to be done to reverse the perception that this is devastating for the Boston Celtics and sets the franchise back several years?
Well, I don't think it's devastating. It's always great if you have a chance to get some special players. But you know, Sam Bowie was taken number two in a draft, and there's been a lot of train wrecks along the way out there. So I think these players will be great players. But I think the point is there are some phenomenal players that have gone five and up in the draft. If you think about it, if you just go back to even 2004, you had Luol Deng. 2003, had Dwayne Wade, Josh Howard were both greater than five. You had Amari Stoudemire, Tayshaun Prince, Carlos Boozer, greater than five. You had Tony Parker, Joe Johnson, Jason Richardson, Richard Jefferson of the Nets, Michael Redd. A lot of great players. Sean Marion, Manu Ginobili, Richard Hamilton, Nowitzki himself, Vince Carter, McGrady. They were all five or greater. Ray Allen, Steve Nash, Kobe Bryant was five or greater. So we're excited, and the good news is this draft is just stacked with really good players in it.
Steve, probably an unfair question hours after the draft lottery ends as disappointingly as it did, but are you a fan of the lottery? Did you think it was fair even before last night's situation?
They've tried. There's a long history of trying to do this in the appropriate way. So as you know, at the beginning of time, it was just the worst team. People felt like then teams were not playing their hardest, so they put in various kinds of systems, and it's evolved over time. It is what it is, and I don't think it's productive. If you'd won it, we would have loved it, but if you lose it, you can't question the system. I think they look at it every year at the NBA, and the question would be, if you looked at it over the last 10 years, almost none of the time did the worst couple of teams get the pick. So they'll look at it and maybe say, gee, should we wait a little more? But I think it is a good system for keeping everybody playing hard. And so I think it's fine. And again, we went into this knowing that we had a 1 in 5 chance of getting that pick. So the staff is prepared, looking at those top 30 players and prepared for any draft position. And again, the good news is there are just a plethora of really good players, that are going to be chosen in the top 10.
Steve, we do this owner series because it allows us to take a microscope to all the local franchises and really get in depth. So with that said, let's just start with some of the things that have happened to your franchise beyond the number five pick last night that became official. You recently gave Doc Rivers a contract extension, or Danny Ainge did. Why?
Because Doc has done a really good job developing our young players, and the players play hard. If you watch any kind of sports team, a lot of it has to do with effort. And Doc has the players well prepared, and the players play really hard. I think it's tough just to sit there and evaluate Doc on a win-loss basis when we had 310, games of injuries of different players, the most we've ever had, I think, in the history last year. And so he really shouldn't be blamed for that. So I think he's now got a good squad coming in. It's going to be really beefed up by the draft choices, and I think you'll see what a good coach he is in the coming season.
Oh, it's interesting that you said that because, you know, we've had some callers that I go back and forth with them. They said the same thing that you said. Hey, you can't just focus on wins and losses with Doc Rivers. In your mind, Steve, give me two or three things that you use to evaluate the performance of a head coach, or the top two or three things.
The top two or three things are number one, does the team play hard? You know, does the team play hard? And this team played hard every game. I did not see one game with the team to play hard. The second thing is, are the players responding to the coach? And Danny Ainge, who's in charge of this area, you know, talks to the players and the coaches on a daily basis. And the players are really responding to Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers is a great leader and works tirelessly to prepare the team. And therefore, you know, we're very, very happy with Doc Rivers. You know, the problem in general, in coaching in general, is let's say we had hit the lottery ball and got Greg Oden. And Doc's now coaching Greg Oden. You know, Popovich is very fortunate to have coached David Robinson and Tim Duncan for the last 10 years. So, you know, I think a great coach needs great players and vice versa. And so it's very hard to just relate that win-loss thing. You have to look at those factors of intensity. Are they playing hard? Are they listening to the coach? Are they getting better? And all those, Doc, has come with flying colors.
We're talking with Steve Pagliuca, managing partner, one of the owners of the Boston Celtics, as we kick off our owner series here on Sports Radio. Steve, I say this with admiration, and I said it on a number of occasions during the course of the season. Despite the record, you were packing people into that garden. The excitement level, given the record of the team, I thought was remarkable. How did you guys keep the enthusiasm up for this team, even in the midst at one point of an 18-game losing streak?
We thought it was incredible, and I think it's a testament to the fact that Boston has the most passionate and smartest sports fans around. So I think what Boston has seen about the Celtics is when we bought the team, you know, we've increased expenditures on players, on coaches, on amenities, on the game presentation dramatically in the last 4 years. So our objective as an ownership group under the leadership of Wood Grosbeck is to win a championship. And I think the fans have seen that, number one. Number two, Danny has packed the roster with a lot of exciting players who will be great players in the future, and our fans are smart enough to see that. This is not, you know, a city where the fans are not intensely into the team. In fact, they understand that this team's going in the right direction. So people had a great time at the games. You know, we hate losing. We don't want to lose, but there's some developing and growing pains. Danny's really trying to get a championship team. We did not also want to get a team that was going to be mediocre year after year and go in the first round of the playoffs and get out. So we had to take some pain, you know, to get to where we are today, and we think you're going to see the results of that next year.
And I'm glad you said that, Steve, because, you know, Danny Ainge came to town in the middle of a playoff series against New Jersey. Coming up, this will be his fifth season in Boston as the head man, as the leading voice in basketball operations. I know that's not his official title, but we'll give him that for now. His teams have not won a playoff series since he's been here. What has to happen next year? Is he on a short leash? Is Doc Rivers on a short leash? Do they have to win at least a playoff series to keep their jobs?
You know, we don't measure it that way. No one's on a short leash. Again, a lot of this has to do with injuries and what's going on. But, no, he's not on a short leash. If you look at the teams that have been successful, they've taken a very long-term perspective. So the folks in Utah who've been successful year in, year out, you know, stuck with the same coach for 17 years, the same infrastructure. The problem is when you keep switching around looking for the next greatest and best thing, you often set yourself back. So we're very patient. If you look at Danny's actual results in the drafting, it's been fantastic. We took an explicit strategy of going young and growing players to try to win a championship. And you are going to have some growing pains. We've had those growing pains, but I don't think that's Danny's fault. And in fact, if people evaluate Danny on where we're drafting, the draft choices we've been dealt, the positions, he's been in the very top of the league there.
Well, I respect you, Steve, for the patience. You're right. Jerry Sloan has been around for a long time, had some losing seasons. You got guys who are in place, and that helps. But 5 years, I mean, how long are you going to give them? I mean, if I don't show results in my job over 5 years, then they're probably looking to replace me.
You know, I think you got to look at all sorts of factors. If people just started watching television and not listening to the radio, and they blamed you for that and said, okay, you're not producing, I think that would be inappropriate. So we're up close and personal to what Danny does, and I got to tell you, from meeting the other 30 general managers and being around basketball, you know, for a long time, and lots of different programs and lots of different coaches and GMs, you know, Danny is one of the brightest, hardworking, you know, minds out there in the game. So he's going to get this right, and it's just not productive to put anybody on a short leash in a business that takes some time to put in the right direction. You know, we inherited a team that was an older team, and a team that wasn't going to challenge for championships, and we made an explicit decision to go ahead and try to win. We don't just want to be a mediocre team. There's a lot of Band-Aids Danny could have done to make the team better, eking the playoffs. That's not our strategy, and I think Danny's executed that strategy well, and we're supportive of him in that, and I think we're going in the right direction. So you'll see this season.
Paul Pierce is your franchise player and has expressed some concerns with how quickly things are turning around here. Is there concern on your part that the guy who is the centerpiece for your franchise is thinking, I don't have a whole lot of gas left in this NBA tank here?
You know, Dale, I think it's in fact the opposite. We want people that want to win. We don't want people checking in trying to get stats, which obviously as a great player you can do on a losing team. So Paul wants to win. We're just as frustrated. Danny's just as frustrated. Doc's just as frustrated as Paul is about winning. And Paul has gone out there and played hard. He was actually at the gym all week this week, getting ready for the season. He's looking great. All our players have been in. We got people healthy now. Tony Allen is actually starting to get out there to the court as well. And so, you know, people are going to get frustrated. We don't want guys that are happy with losing.
How strong is the NBA as a whole, as an entire entity? I look at TV ratings that are slipping, both on a national level, and I don't know about your local TV ratings. Attendance figures would indicate that the interest is still strong, but how concerned are you about the health and viability of your league as a whole?
I think the league, due to these last few strong drafts with the Dwayne Wade of the world, LeBron James, now Greg Oden, Durant, the player we'll get, you know, the league is actually going back into a great period with great players. You're also seeing, instead of having one team that clearly is going to win it or two teams that are clearly going to win it, there's six or eight or ten teams that can win it. So you're seeing more competitive balance, a group of great players, huge international interest, and I think 18% of the players are from out of this country that are playing in this league right now. We'll be playing a game in October in Rome and a game in London, so there's great international interest. Ticket sales are up. Our ticket sales are as strong as they've ever been. We're way ahead of where we've ever been in the program of season tickets and fan support. So I think the league is actually well-positioned. It's one of the few global sports, and in China, basketball is popping up all over the place, and their leagues are very robust as well. So I think you're going to see a great NBA product out there. I think you guys who've watched this, the style of play, it's going back to the up-tempo. That Golden State series was just incredible with Dallas on the up-tempo, frenzied style of play, and the fans love it. Our team is built to play that way as well, so I think we're going to have a very exciting season at the Garden.
Steve, Ian Thompson of Sports Illustrated wrote that you don't have a scout dedicated entirely to NBA talent. Then the organization responded by saying you do have a professional scout and assistant coaches help out as well. Is there anything to clarify here?
I don't think so. I mean, Danny runs a crack operation, and I think people have seen the results of that. So we have extremely knowledgeable people like Chris Wallace and Leo Papil, who've been doing this for years and years and years. And they're in China. They're looking at all the current players. They're looking at past players. They're going under, you know, every rock and checking every possible player. They see them in person. We have the staff watch players at least 10 games live that we're interested in, and see them in person as well as watch tapes. We put a state-of-the-art facility in there. We have a synergy system which can call up every play that a player's made in a certain game, and we can look at it. You know, can they go right? Can they go left? Do they defend? So we're very confident in the staff that they're looking at everything and doing it in a very systematic manner.
For college and NBA players, you're saying?
College and NBA players. Okay. I mean, I think it's the best. It's well funded, and it's the best scouting staff I think in the league. And if you look at pound for pound experience, they probably have more experience and more continuity than any staff that's out there.
About a month ago, Sebastian Telfair was arrested on a gun possession charge. Wick Grosbeck was quoted in the aftermath as saying they'd removed his nameplate from his locker in Waltham, and he didn't have a Celtics locker at that point, and Wick didn't anticipate that he would. He hasn't been waived as yet. What's the status of Telfair within the organization?
You know, the status of Telfair is that we are waiting to see what happens, and, you know, we are keeping that a matter between Telfair and us.
Can I safely say, based on Wick's initial reaction, that character issues are a concern within the Celtics ownership group?
I think from day one, when we bought the team, we believe that a fundamental ingredient of a basketball team, you know, is good character, and we definitely are focusing on that. On the other hand, you know, we don't believe we should be judgmental. We don't believe that. You know, we know right from wrong better than anybody else. So I think that definitely character is a focus of our organization and will continue to be. And I think, you know, good character goes with winning basketball as well.
You're right. It is probably too early to jump to conclusions on what happened with Sebastian Telfair. But I'm going to go with what I saw on the court this year. I didn't think he was very good. Were you disappointed by the player you saw who came in from Portland and cost the Celtics a lottery pick?
Yeah, you know, again, I think I take the long term approach, and you need a couple of years to be, quote, disappointed. Did he have a great season? No. Did he have some great games? Yes. And that again is the issue, the risks when you buy a venture capital company, you know, rather than buy an existing company, you're taking kind of a risk of the startup. And Sebastian, I think, is only 21 at this point in time, and you know, again, he was another high school guy. I think in general, the young strategy of getting players in development is going to pay off. That's the way you win in the NBA. But we're not going to be successful every time, number one. Number two, you can't do it, look at it game to game, and even over a one-year period, it takes a time for these guys to season. Chauncey Billups, you know, was on five different teams before he became an all-star, and he went to Detroit. And you see several of those stories, you know, throughout the league. So did Sebastian have a great season? Did he play as well as he wanted to play? No. Did he have some flashes of brilliance? You know, yes.
You know, Steve, you had a great moment a while ago. I made fun of you for it, but you turned out to be right. You had a story that Jackie McMullen wrote in the Boston Globe. Somehow you said, if Al Jefferson turns out to be Karl Malone, we'll be very happy. Well, he didn't turn out to be Karl Malone last year, but he was very good. And in the process, I learned how to say your name. It's like lasagna, as you pointed out to me, so I'm happy with myself there. But if Al Jefferson continues to develop at this pace, you're going to have to pay him. You have some other guys coming up, Delonte West, Tony Allen, you have to make decisions on. Has the organization had discussions about these things long-term yet?
Yeah, we pride ourselves as an organization of having a very thoughtful strategic and financial plan. And so we model out, you know, what the salary cap is and the taxes and all that kind of thing. And we target the money to be there to keep our key core players. So, yes, we were all over that. And Rich Gotham and the group do, Bill Reisfelder, do a fantastic job of integrating that with the basketball side. So we're well aware of that, and we are very happy to have Al. I don't know if Al's Karl Malone yet, but as you know, the interesting thing about the print media, they don't get the whole story. I think that comment was prefaced by the fact that, similar to what I just said here, we look at all these players as having, you know, upside and downside, and we try to get players that have asymmetrical upside, more upside than downside. That's not always going to work out. In terms of Al, from day one, when Danny and Leo and Chris discovered Al down in San Antonio in high school setting, you know, they thought he had an enormous amount of upside. And we never know if a guy will become Karl Malone or become a great player for that matter. But what we do know is, do they have the potential to do that? And Al certainly is on that track to have that kind of potential, and we're very excited about that.
Final question from me. You share a building with the hockey team that owns the building, but there are obvious marketing situations in which you kind of hope things work out together, the selling of luxury suites or signage or things like that. Given the problems the hockey team has had and now the problems that the basketball team has had record-wise, are you finding that the marketing, particularly the things that you guys might be marketing together, is a difficult sell right now?
You know, we are not. We've established a really good relationship with the Bruins organization. And we, as you can see, we have a new $4.5 million scoreboard supplied by both of us up there, which has really added a lot to the game presentation. Our ticket sales are way ahead of where they've been in the past. Our sponsorships are in the top of the NBA and way ahead of where they've ever been as well. So we have not experienced that issue. And I think, you know, they're making progress on the hockey side as well. I think you guys and I talked about the fact that, you know, hockey was coming out of the strike and a big problem. And I think that has to do with the hockey situation as well and their television contract. They're not on a major network. So they've got other issues in the hockey business. But I think they're coming back as well.
And, Steve, this is my final question. You guys had control of the team in 2002 when the Celtics went to the Eastern Conference Finals. Did you have more season ticket holders then, or do you have more now?
I don't think we had control of the team at that point in time, Michael. So I wouldn't actually know the answer to that question. But we have a record number of revenues and renewals, you know, this year than we've ever had before. And I can check that for you. But the latest stats I saw were that it's gone very, very well. We didn't buy the team, I think, until midway through the next season.
I'm sorry. I'm thinking you guys, I stand corrected. I thought you guys took over in September. It was September? Was it September of 02 or 03?
I think actually it was December 31st in 03.
Okay. My bad. So are you comfortable with your season? Let me rephrase that question on the run here. Are you comfortable with your season ticket sales now? Do you have more season ticket holders now than you did, say, 2 years ago?
Yes, we do, and I think we've renewed the highest percentage you know to date that we've ever renewed at this point in time. Because you know, the surveys we've done with the fans is they love the style of play, they see the potential of young players, and you know, they've been great supporting that, and they look forward to next year. We're gonna have to deliver. You cannot. To quote the infamous Al Davis, you know, it's win, baby, win. You know, you got to win. And so that won't happen forever, but I do think they see the progress. And they also see the fact that this ownership group is really, really focused on putting money back into the team to try and win. And, you know, we may not get it right every time, and our people may not get it right every time, but I think people have given us the benefit of the doubt, and we appreciate that we're out there, you know, put money in, you know, basically trying to win every day. That's what we're about. That's what we want to do.
Steve, we really appreciate you kicking off our owner series for us and talking with us today. Thank you very much for taking the time, and we'll talk again in the future.
Okay, I really appreciate it, guys. And Michael, I'll send you a tin of lasagna. After last night, I'm also going home and gonna burn all my ping pong tables and the commensurate bowls with those.
Thanks, Steve. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Steve Pagliuca, managing partner, one of the owners of the Boston Celtics, kicking off our owner's series.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.